May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We started last week, before I took the trip to Texas, looking at the seven sorrows and joys of Joseph. Last Wednesday night, I did all seven for those who are CTKers who don't get to come during the day. So for those who do both, you'll get to hear some of this again. But today is the fourth joy and sorrow of Joseph. We're looking at this during our Advent season. And the scriptures that Deacon Bracken read is that fourth place where Joseph is mentioned, where he's involved in the scene and what's going on. And this is when Jesus is 40 days old. And at 40 days old, it was time for him to be presented in the temple. And because he was the firstborn child, male, the scripture says that he was therefore holy to the Lord. And so on the 40th day, they would bring that child and that they would present him to the Lord and give him back to God. That's why I said, I think this last week, is that whenever the Lord gives you anything, blesses you with anything, we should always have our hands open to receive. But once we receive, our hands should stay open because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to him. And though he may give us it to steward, it still belongs to him and he can take back or whatever he wants to do. And again, then Joseph and Mary were poor. And you could offer animals as a sacrifice to God during this 40-day when you would present the child before the Lord and to give him back to God as his, belong to him. But when they were really poor, there was also a provision in the law that you could just present pigeons. And that's what they offered were pigeons because they were poor. They didn't have much to offer. So there's a couple of things here that I think that are powerful in terms of the sorrows, the joys of Joseph and Joseph's life, which ended pretty early in Jesus' life. You know, Jesus was after 12 when Joseph dies. We just don't know exactly when. But the first thing is this, is that God's called us. He bought us with a price. We belong to him. We don't really have any personal rights. Christianity is not, my relationship with the Lord is not a democracy. I don't get a vote. It's a total dictatorship. It's a theocracy. He alone governs. He is Lord of both the dead and the living. And it says in Romans 14 that he died and rose again for this purpose, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. And we've said this before many times over the years, either Jesus is Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Because the very idea of being Lord means that it all belongs to him. And so this joy of Joseph was that he was giving back to the Lord that which was most precious to him. Again, Joseph had nothing to do with the birth of Jesus. He was not his father. He was the foster father. And yet, it was the most precious thing that God had ever given him to steward. To the degree that Jesus referred to him also as his father. We're going to see that again this week in the seventh joy and sorrow of Joseph. And I find often with Christians that we cling to things. I find that mothers have a tendency to cling to their children. And they live in fear that something's going to happen to them. And so they feel like they have to control everything. Parents can do that in general. But God wants us to give our children to the Lord. It doesn't mean that we aren't responsible. We're to be responsible and do what we can to care. But we're not to live in fear. We're not to try to control and cling to. They belong to God. Everything that I own belongs to him. It's his. I don't have any rights over it. And one of the things that Mother Teresa used to say about Jesus' lordship over her life was that we are called to take what he gives, but also to give what he takes. That's really the best description of surrender I've ever heard. And so the first thing from this particular sorrow and joy, Joseph, is that we are offering to him the most precious things that we have. They belong to him, not us.
Therefore, he can order our steps, whether it's your job or your money. If it belongs to him, then he's able to order your steps. But if you cling to it as if it were yours, you have rights over it, then he's not able to speak into your life and order steps, your steps. And therefore, there's a degree of favor that can't be on that place in your life. Like if your money's your money, then it's your money. The whole thing about tithing is not about legalism. It's about an act of faith and worship and acknowledging the fact that it belongs to him. And I'd rather have 90% of money that has got God's favor on it than 100% that's got a curse on it. Because if it's 90% and it's got God's favor, it's supernatural money. It'll last a lot longer. But the other thing about them is that, and sometimes I'll hear people say, I just feel like I don't have much to offer God. Well, they didn't have much to offer either besides in offering Jesus, but their sacrifice was just two pigeons. Give him what you have. He doesn't measure what I offer to him based on how the world measures stuff. You know, the widow's mite wasn't much, but it was everything to her. And that's recorded in Scripture. And the widow's mite meant more to Jesus than a wealthy person's gazillion dollars if they were holding back. Give him what you have. He said, well, all I have is weakness. Give him the weakness. He died so that in your weakness, his strength might be made perfect. Amen. Well, I feel like all I have is sin. Then give him your sin. He died for your sin. He can do something with you. The other thing about this story that's interesting to me is they're encountering Simeon. Simeon was an old man. God had given him a promise that he wouldn't die before he saw Messiah. Now understand that a little bit later, Anna's talked about. But Anna, it says about Anna that Anna, she lived in the temple basically day and night fasting and praying. Simeon wasn't there every day or day and night, and so the fact that Jesus showed up with his parents at just the time that Simeon was there is pretty amazing to me. That what if Jesus had been born a day earlier and the 40th day was the day that Simeon wasn't going to be there? But it's interesting to me that Simeon was right there at the right time for those people. When they showed up, he's standing there and they just kind of bump into each other. And the Scripture says that he gives this prophecy, and then it says in verse 34, and then Simeon blessed them. They received a blessing from Simeon. And here's the other thing that God spoke to me about, and I pray about this a lot. I pray, you remember these are the devotionals, I pray that I'll constantly keep my hands open, that I'll keep offering the Lord things that are precious to me. And when he blesses me with stuff, I just give it back to him by saying, well, thank you for giving this to me, but it really is yours. Do what you want to with it. You know, there have been many times, I know that in all of our lives, when God would give you something, give you money, and then the next thing you know, God's saying, now give it away. You know? But there, the word synergy simply means that the dots are connected. That things don't just happen, that it's not about fate or luck, but there's a connection to everything that happens in your life. And this is what I believe is part of what it means to have the eyes of a dove, to have the eyes of the Holy Spirit, is to be able to see the synergy of God. And Joseph and Mary showed up with Jesus at just the right time, in just the right place, and met just the right person. And God arranged all that. And the result was, there was blessing for them. And so I pray into that a lot. Lord, don't let me get frustrated when the traffic slows down, because I'm being ordered, my steps are being ordered by you. My times are in your hands. And there's a reason why you want me to get there later than I was supposed to get there. Everything, maybe I'm just supposed to, I would use this example last Wednesday, and I've talked before, I love going to the coffee shop in the morning, and I call in my coffees when I leave my house, because it takes a while for them. But when I pull around the building, if there's two or three cars there, you're going to be there a long time. So I'll get out and go in. So I'm not going to get to church as quick as I thought I was going to get, but you know, maybe I have to believe that God's in control. and that I'm going to get here at just the right time I'm supposed to. And so maybe one kid who wouldn't have been walking past me if I'd have gotten there 10 minutes earlier walks past me. Am I simply just saying, how are you doing this morning? And maybe they had a rough morning at home and they just need to hear an adult and hear me in my position to smile and be kind to them for a moment, or to stop and talk to that person, which I couldn't have done if there'd have been no cars in the line at the coffee shop. You see, I'm in Christ, and my life isn't governed by fate. My life isn't governed by bad luck. Oh, it's such bad luck. I pulled up. There are two cars here. Or I'm waiting, having to wait too long in the line at Walmart. I just have to assume that I'm supposed to be there. God's in control of my time. And all of it fits together. And I may not even see how it all works together until the end of the day, or even see it at all. But I can be sure that God's arranging everything, because there's a blessing in it. So you can either live your life frustrated because God sort of interrupts your schedule. It's not happening as fast, or this was an interruption here, or you're trying to do that and somebody calls you, and you know it's somebody you're supposed to, answer the phone, and so that's gotten messed up. I have to believe that God's in control of all that. Again, my world isn't governed by fate. My world isn't governed by luck. My world isn't governed by other people and their choices. I'm in Christ. And there's a divine synergy to everything I do, and it carries a blessing unless I don't have eyes to see it. And I live my day complaining or anxious or angry or frustrated because things aren't happening the way I wanted them to. Oh, I thought I was supposed to yield the most precious things to Him. And that includes my time and my schedule. It's not your schedule. It's His schedule. Your times are in His hands. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.